Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. And I'm excited about this next hour because my good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, join me at Focus on the Family. And they come on the show every other Wednesday, pretty much a couple times a month, with different topics that are on their hearts. And today we're going to talk about the importance of the story. How do you frame your marriage? What's the story that you tell? Do you even think that you have a story when it comes to marriage? In fact, if they were to write a book or a movie on your marriage, what would you call it? So I asked that question just about an hour ago on my Facebook page. I already have 80 comments. Okay, I've got some. One person said, till death do we part. Another one said, death by dysfunction. Another one said, what not to do. The other one said, unconditional love. Sweet and sour, in it for the long haul. How about you? 877-933-2484. We're only going to take calls a few times throughout this hour because I want to give Greg and Aaron as much time as possible to unpack their content. But we've got a wonderful Focus on the Family book by Greg and Aaron, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage, bound together with one of our Faith Radio Devos. I'll get them on in a moment. Just want to give a shout out to our friends listening in our Hartford, Connecticut, 1290, Faith 1290. So glad to have you part of our Faith Radio family. Also, we're hoping, praying to get 1 million people believing and praying on Sunday, July 10th, trusting that God will move his hand on behalf of this nation. We're working alongside the National Association of Evangelicals, who are leading this initiative to get 1 million people praying on Sunday, July 10th. If you want to sign up your life group or your church, you can go to nae.net. Boy, imagine what would happen if 1 million of us were praying for this nation. Desperately needs our prayers, right? Let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Vice President of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. He's written 18 books, including The DNA of Relationships and The Wholehearted Marriage. Aaron Smalley's Program Manager at Focus on the Family, as well as an author and speaker based in Colorado Springs with her dear family. She works alongside Greg doing marriage intensives and seminars. And by the way, she does women's conferences as well. So if you've got an upcoming women's conference retreat, you need to be thinking about her because she's got an amazing stage presence. Great, great speaker. Both Greg and Aaron have 3 daughters and 1 son. Actually, they're going to have a son-in-law coming up here soon, too. You can find their influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Greg and Aaron, welcome back to the program.
It's so good to be with you.
It's been a while.
I know.
I'm so excited to be here.
Really, really missed you guys. Looking forward to this conversation. So let's start with you, Greg. Why was this topic on the forefront of your mind as far as the importance and the power of your marriage story?
Not too long ago, I just saw some research that's been done a while ago, but I saw it again and went, man, that is really, really powerful. Listen to this, Dr. John Gottman, so he's a researcher out of the University of Washington. I would say that he's the foremost best marriage researcher of our day and time. He said that he can predict with over 94% accuracy if a couple will make it or not based solely on how they tell their story. So in other words, he would interview couples and he would just simply tell me about your marriage and your journey together and what that's been like. In the couples who, you know, framed it in a positive way, boy, you know, we've had our ups and our downs and our challenges and we've had our good times and here we are and we've grown and we've learned, versus the couples that would say, I don't even know why we got married. We got married because it's kind of the next logical step in our relationship or, you know, whatever. And they just would give more of a negative slant. He can predict 94% accuracy who will make it or not simply by how they tell their story. And it just made me go, you know, if that's true, then, man, yeah, how do I tell my story? It's that idea that you know what, the truth is that my marriage will tell a story.
Yeah.
Is it going to be negative or is it going to be positive?
You know, and that's so good. And Aaron, I know you're a researcher and there's brain science even behind this whole thing as far as, and then we're not talking power of positive thinking or name it, claim it at all. But there is scientists apart from faith who are saying the story you tell yourself, not only about marriage, but about suffering, about your circumstances, totally impacts your neurological system. Say just a word, if you would, about just the importance of the story you tell yourself.
Yeah, researchers are finding that it does impact your neural pathways. As you recall experiences, it's going to impact then your brain. Thus, that is going to then impact how you behave. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how you tell your story is going to impact your brain and it'll then impact your behavior. And so it's super important to, you know, really be intentional about how you're telling your story. And I'm not talking about a Pollyannish, you know, viewpoint of, you know, your pain. I'm talking about how are you presenting your story? You know, if you went through difficult times, which we all have, how are you presenting that? How are you framing it? You know, is there positive things that came out of that pain? And so as you recall your story from the early difficult years, you know, can you see what God has done with that?
So you're even talking about, especially for a Christian, to have a redemptive perspective, because the thing is, you have life springing up, even in the hardest of marriages. But if you're not focusing on it, you're missing it. So just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Right, Aaron?
So true. So true. He promises us blessings from our pain. And so what are those blessings? Are you looking for them? You're going to miss them. I don't want to miss them. And I know for Greg and I, for our first 2 years of marriage, I mean, it was challenging and difficult, but we had good times in there. And we now see on the flip side, the amazing things God has done as a result of it. Mm-hmm. So we all have a story. It's just our choice how we're going to tell it.
So if you did title, I know you've got so many books, crazy little thing called marriage, but if you could title your movie or your book, Aaron, what would you title it?
Ooh, I'm so excited because Greg wouldn't let me tell him. So, you know, our love for Hallmark movies.
Yes.
So I went on Hallmark.
Don't drag me into this.
And I did see some that I did not choose, such as The Good Witch's Gift. Love's Long Journey.
Long emphasis.
Naughty or Nice.
Okay.
So, I mean, those were several options. I did not choose those. I chose Love's Unfolding Dream.
Very good. Impressive.
And I love that.
I like it.
Yeah.
Can we end the show right now?
Yeah. He's like,
I want to see him top that.
Okay, Greggy, top that.
Well, in that I'm not competitive. I'm not competing, Aaron, with you.
But we are.
Yeah. We are. Okay.
And I'm speaking for Susie.
You're not
and I.
Competing only if you lose. So go.
I would title our marriage The Amazing Marriage Adventure.
Very good.
Because I just, I love the thought of the word adventure. And because adventure has all of the elements. You're going to have, you know, if you're taking a canoe down the river and that's your adventure, you know, here Aaron and I are together in that canoe. We're paddling away and we don't ever know what's around the next bend. There might be a waterfall. There might be some peaceful, calm water and we can hang out on a sandbar and just kick back and enjoy, or we might be fighting big old rapids and we might encounter wildlife and you just never know. And that's what I love, that I don't know what's around the next bend, but I tell you this, there's no one on earth that I would rather be in a canoe with on that journey than with Aaron.
And you know what? I mean, I've known you. Isn't that sweet? Do you need to end the show
That's
now,
very
Aaron?
Sweet. No, I'm competing because I realized I didn't get to explain mine.
Oh, okay.
And his was dang
time.
Good.
It was very good. Aaron, did you have more to say about your long journey?
Mine Love's Long Journey. Mine was Love's Unfolding Dream, and that
is
just like Greg was saying, it's unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
It's love unfolding throughout the years. It's going to look different each and every season, but ultimately we both had the dream of being married and being a good wife and a good husband and having a family, and but it's unfolding, and we don't know what it's going to look like throughout each season.
You know what's so interesting is I've known you guys well for a good handful of years, and this is how you've talked about your marriage as long as I've known you. But what I sense, though, is you even have more confidence in what you have than you did back then. In other words, you have that much more history of the twists and the turns and the rapids and the mountains and the storms and the sunshine that you've walked through together. So I hear just this unrelenting confidence that you guys have a history together, so you have a future together. I mean, I think that's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. But that is the vision. That's one of the reasons we need to tell the stories, to remember so that we can dream together, right?
It's so true. You know, even... You know, just recently, just walking through the death of my father, you know, that's that part of the canoe trip, the adventure that, you know, we weren't expecting around the next bend, that I was going to lose my dad. And yet it gave us an opportunity to walk through something, experience something that was very painful, first time for me. I mean, you know, just how do you handle that? In tell you, there were moments that I watched Aaron as a mama bear towards me.
Yep.
Just protecting me, going, listen, leave him alone, he needs space. Or, you know, I just saw different times that just a different kind of protection than I've ever experienced before. And it was fun to watch that, going, you better listen to her because she will paw you.
Trust me.
And said, maul you.
I finally decided my mama bear doesn't always know Jesus.
We should introduce
There's times
them.
That mama bear comes out,
I could
and
have
it
told
ain't
you
pretty.
That a long time
yeah.
ago.
But then, you know, right after his dad passed away, we went into a challenge of I had to have a cast on my right foot for 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't drive. I was on crutches. I had to crawl up the stairs. And who was there but Greg waiting for me each and every time to pick me up, to drive me to work, to carry the 25-pound scooter into work. And I mean, so in
– And your 25-pound purse.
Yeah.
we had a big argument about that.
The very first day, he's like, I don't mind helping you, but if I've got to carry this bag and that purse, you got to do something.
Gotta
I'm like,
choose one.
And that, my friends, is an example for all to follow. I'm just saying.
I'm like, I don't want to bother you.
But that's a part of the adventure.
It is.
That's why I don't want to mislead anybody to make it sound like we've got this easy, simple, amazing, no challenge. I mean, that's the journey. There are plenty of rapids that we encounter. There's plenty of moments that, you know, she's swinging the paddle at me.
That's the good witch's gift. Or naughty or nice. And I think it's more referring to me.
Yeah. Okay, so when we come back, you're going to tell a story. I don't know why, after all these years, I don't remember the laundry story. Maybe
That's
I will once
favorite.
You tell it, but it is one of your favorites. So we're going to tell that. But here's the deal, you guys. We've got hardcover, beautiful book, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage, 12 Secrets for a Lifelong Romance by the Smalleys, published by Tyndale, bound together with a nice little ribbon and a Faith Radio coffee table devotional. We've got like 14 of these. So email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you've got a name, how you'd name your movie or your book for your marriage, tell us that. Give me your mailing address, and chances are a good many of you will receive this wonderful gift pack. Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with the Smalleys when we return. Have you ever thought of that in the context of marriage? We are more than conquerors. You know, what God has brought together, let no man put asunder. Think about that. When we start to get a vision for what God's promises mean to our marriage, we can prevail. We can. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Have our good friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley joining us on the program today. We're talking about the power of your marriage story. So if they filmed a film about your marriage, if they wrote a book about your marriage, how would you title it? People chiming in on Facebook, all kinds of titles. But this is what I want you to do, because we've got this wonderful gift pack, Aaron and Greg's book, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage, bound together with a nice little Faith Radio devotional. So email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. www.thebestofyourmarriagenow.com. If you don't have a name for your marriage, that's okay, but include your mailing address, and your name will go in a drawing. We've got about 14 of these packs to give away, so I'd love to hear from you. Susie@myfaithradio.com. So we're talking about the power of your marriage story, and Greg, you mentioned the laundry story, and for the life of me, I can't remember that story. So on your mark, get set, go. Tell me that story.
Well, it happened about 6 months into our marriage, which, you know, a lot of our goofy stories came from. Okie dokie,
I think it's coming to me now. Keep going.
Yes, 6 months into our marriage. It was a Saturday, and I woke up. I had to go to work. Greg was going to stay home that day. We woke up irritated with each other, just bad moods. We were snipping back and forth at each other. I don't even know what we were upset about, just irritable, in a mood, to say the least. And so I got ready, was going to walk out the door to go to work, but I decided to pop my head back in the door and make one more smart comment before I left, because I like to get the last word.
Yeah.
So I made my last statement and walked out the door and shut the door, and off I went.
And so I was just left there standing. You know, she's gone. She makes the last comment, and it was just irritating to me. Because she had set, like, this boundary. She'd said something like, hey, I don't know what we're fighting about. Let's quit talking. We'll talk later on tonight. So I was abiding by that. I had plenty more that I could have shared, but I was not talking. So when she made the last comment then left, I was just ticked. Well, I had agreed to put the laundry together, to do our laundry. And so we lived up on the fourth floor apartment, and how I would get the laundry to the laundry room, which was right under our apartment on the first floor, is I would load it all up in this huge mesh bag, and then I would just simply pull it out, put it on the railing, and drop it. And so I get everything loaded out.
This is how a man does laundry, no offense. But I mean, anyway.
It's about to be dropped when on the first floor I see Aaron walking towards me. And just in that moment, really, it was like a vision from God. I thought, how funny would it be if I let it go near her? So it'd startle her. She'd look up, and I'd be like, last word that. And so this seemed really like a great idea.
Mm.
And so, of course, as she walked by, I let the laundry go. And I didn't mean to do this, but I ended up hitting her with the laundry bag. I meant to place it next to her. It hit you.
Yes,
and
it did.
It knocked her down.
Oh, my goodness.
All I remember doing is looking over going, oh, my. Because she, like, jumps up instantly, and she starts running up the stairs. She's coming back after me. And I realized I was in massive trouble.
And danger.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I did what only, you know, a real man would do. I immediately ran back in and locked the door. And so she gets to the door and starts pounding on it. You let me in. And I'm thinking, listen, I may be an idiot, but I'm not stupid, because she would have thrown me over. I would have had to have landed on the laundry bag to live.
I get the feeling her aim is maybe better than yours, though, so that could have been a problem.
But that happened. Aaron, did that truly happen?
It truly did happen, and somehow we stayed married through that. You know, but it's all these stories early on in our relationship that truly, I mean, we repeat these stories, and we can now laugh about them. Back then, I was not laughing.
No.
At all.
I was too afraid to laugh back then.
And good. You should have been.
Well, remember at a seminar not too long ago, after we told the story, which we share with it. I mean, we have fun with it, and we talk about it. And a woman came up to me in line, and she just said, you know, wow, she goes, that's a terrible story. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking she's just being funny, and she kind of sadly goes, I can't believe Aaron stayed married to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the extent of our interaction. But it really bothered me what she said, because here's the truth. It's that story, and we have others like that. That what's so cool about it is the fact that Aaron did stay with me. I mean, this laundry story, it represents the good, the bad, the ugly of our marriage. And now we're able to look back and tell that story and laugh about it, because it represents God's grace. It represents Aaron's amazing ability to forgive me.
And
it represents my craziness.
And
you know?
The thing is, if anybody watched the story, the reel of our marriage, We both have times on both sides where we're guilty, where someone would be thinking, that's the unforgivable offense. And that's the thing, is that there's a grace to carry the burden and, you know, and the blessings in the context of your marriage. And people are quitting way too soon in, you know, in lesser things. I mean, that's, you guys are practical jokers. I can see why in your mind's eye, you know, I tossed this over the railing and it'd be, you know, I mean, bummer that you hit her. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Big bummer. Yeah.
But I mean, truly though, Aaron, speak about that. I mean, as you got some distance from that, and you know, in marriage, we forgive and we need to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that night I came home and of course he was begging for forgiveness, and he decided to make amends and wash everything in the apartment, including the couch cushions. He unzipped the outer cushions, washed and dried them. And so then we had like these mounds of, it looked like Egypt in our, on our couch. I mean, it was, so, I mean, as you know, he sought forgiveness, and then, you know, I didn't get hurt seriously. It could have been a whole lot worse, but you know, it was, now we can look back on it. And we can see that, you know, gosh, we've come a long way, you know, through this craziness and the crazy times. We stuck through it and we are still married. And, you know, God has done such a redemptive work in each of us individually and in our marriage. And that's the beauty of hanging in there and working through it and seeking the Lord individually and together. And now our children tell these stories. And I love to hear them tell them, because they sit at our seminars and they listen to us and they think they're funny. And but what they are getting is that, you know what, life is going to be great in marriage. Life is going to be hard in marriage. But ultimately, you can stick it through and let God do his redemptive work in you and in your marriage.
Amen. Well, we've got about a minute and a half before break. I don't think I've ever asked you this before, but you guys have talked openly about those opening years of your marriage when things were you know, tough. And Greg, you always say you thought you were one fight away from Aaron leaving. So yeah. I'll direct this to you, Greg. Since that time, have you ever had such a low time in your marriage where you wondered again if we were going to make it? Or did you sort of close that conversation down after that time?
Honestly, since those early years, I haven't had a moment that I thought, oh, man, we're not going to make it. There's been plenty of seasons, so I would say beyond an hour, beyond a day, there's been seasons, I think, that we've been stuck in a tough place for whatever reason. You know, maybe we weren't connecting. Maybe we just were frustrated with each other. Whatever the season was, there's been really hard seasons. And I've thought, man, this is kind of miserable. And I don't think marriage is supposed to be this miserable, this hard. And yet, I've never wondered, nah, are we going to make it? I've always gone, man, there's always another bend around the corner.
Yeah.
And whatever body of water canoeing we're locked in right now, we can always get out of it, because we have choice. Because one, God is always fighting for our marriage. He is so passionate about marriage that he loves our marriage, and that's a commitment that we have with him, that he's always there. And
so
the good news is there's always going to be another opportunity to for me to choose a different way to behave as a husband. And that's the hope I have.
Amen. If you're thinking of it in book form, and maybe it's a tough chapter, we should do a show someday about maybe choices and steps we can make to come through a tough chapter, tough season. There are some things we can do. Talking to Greg and Aaron Smalley about the power of the story. What a story are you telling yourself about your marriage? More when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So blessed to have my friends Greg and Aaron Smalley on the show today. We're talking about the power of telling your story in marriage. How do you do that? I mean, what kind of story are you telling? When people ask about your marriage, is it sort of an Eeyore-type story, kind of a faithless story, or is there a redemptive element to it? Well, Greg and I are going to talk about not only how we start to tell a better story, tell our story, But why? Why this is important? Before we ask that question, just got to, there's so many emails that have come in. One, Jill said she's driving. She listens. She pulled over. She said, you two are two of our favorite guests that we have on. She just bought Aaron's book, Grown Up Girlfriends. She's hoping she can get this one. She loved Grown Up Girlfriends. And Teresa said, my husband and I have been married 37 years. We have three children. All were married with seven grandchildren. 3 years ago, I had a heart attack and God let me live. I thought things were so good. Then, within 3 years following the heart attack, all of my children were divorced. Oh, bless your heart. Mm. All were brought up in a home of faith. So trying to think of a name for our marriage would be Stay Faithful. We feel God's grace through all the pain and attacks from the enemy, burdens and blessings we have had. God bless you, dear girl. Wow, that's so painful. Okay, so Aaron, let's start with you. Talk about how and the why of telling a story around your marriage.
You know, Greg talked about the research that John Gottman did, and he kind of talked about how happy couples present their relationship. They talk about it in a positive term. Well, the inverse is true. John Gottman found that unhappy couples, they focus more on the difficult times, the pain, the struggles, and sadly, they edit out the good times or define them as anomalies or altered their story to reflect their current state of unhappiness. And so, you know, it's so true. You think about when you are in those difficult times, it's easy to start focusing on the difficulties and what's wrong in your relationship. And I mean, I'm going to challenge myself with this. During difficult times, you know, it's so powerful to simply look back and look at what has been good over the last, Greg and I are hitting 24 years this year. What has been good, and making sure to include that in my narrative, challenging myself to include that in the narrative. Because like Greg has said, it's an adventure. There's going to be the seasons of rapids and the seasons of smooth sailing. And so, and if you're in smooth sailing right now, be prepared. Rapids come. And if you're in rapids, be ready for the peaceful, calm waters. They're coming.
Amen.
And in the, I challenge listeners out there to do what I'm challenging myself to focus on those positive things, those positive character qualities, experiences in your relationship that you've had previously.
Very good. What do you say, Greg?
You know, for me, one of the my dad gave me such a great piece of advice early on. He basically said, hey, if you're going to kind of do what I'm doing and speak and write and those kinds of things, he goes, just take maybe, you know, once every other week, once a week, just think about what has happened this week that was sort of memorable. So funny, really sad. I mean, just, and he said, just keep a list and just write a sentence that'll you know, cue you that, oh, yeah, that's right, this happened. And Susie, I have a list of now 450 stories about our life together, Aaron and I together with our kids. And I tell you, you know, for me, that has been so powerful because it's those stories, I think, collectively define our relationship. You know, it shows that we've been through some really funny times, difficult seasons, but, you know, God's love and mercy, man, you know, I love the song you played earlier, we're more than conquerors. And that's what, so I think even on a practical level, part of how you begin to tell your story, you need to start recording these things that happen. I think for me, just viewing and being aware that our story is part of a larger narrative. And that's God's narrative. And it made me, I thought about this analogy of one of my colleagues used this morning in a devotional time, and I just went, oh, I love it. You know, like when you're on an airplane and you're taking off, and it's one of those dreary days, there's no sun out, there's a storm, it's cloudy, you can't see
kinda
very
like
far.
Today.
Yes,
yeah.
Very much like it is in Colorado. And then, you know, so you go through that, and there's a lot of turbulence, and it's kind of frightfully, you know, and then all of a sudden you pop through the clouds and boom, there's no more storm. It's the most peaceful, tranquil view that you can see the sun, and it's warm. And it's an amazing picture. And for me, if all I see is our day-to-day experience, and I don't have that larger, you know, above the clouds view, that this is really God's big, big story. And our marriage is a part of that, but it fits into his larger narrative. He placed us on this earth to love him and to love others. In our destiny as a married couple is to love others well. Mm-hmm. And therefore, man, it gives meaning to our story. How are we living that out? How, you know, John 13, 34 and 35, how is our love within our marriage evidence that we're followers of Christ? You know, men will know you're my disciples by the way you love one another. And so I think for Aaron and I, at some point that we were able to make that shift in our brain, that we realized that, man, you know what? It's just we're not alone. And this is just not about us and the story of us. That we're a part of a bigger narrative. And here's how we play into that. And here's how we fit. And thus, that gives our marriage a very different meaning.
You know, when you talk about if they made a movie of your marriage, what would you call it? We've got lots of emails coming in. But the point is, even if they never make a movie of your marriage, people are watching more than you know, especially if you profess Christ. Isn't that right?
It is so true. And you think about, you know, in John 13, 34 and 35, Christ lays out our purpose, which is to love. It's a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And it's so clear.
It's almost like you weren't listening to me prior.
Did you read that whole thing?
Maybe not the whole thing.
No, see, I knew you didn't.
No.
I knew you didn't read the whole thing.
You didn't say it like Aaron's saying it.
You didn't,
I didn't
read
say
the
like
whole verse. He didn't, Duty Susie, he didn't read the whole verse.
No, he didn't.
But it's three times in that piece of scripture that in two verses that he's telling us to love one another. And it is our purpose. And I think what it does when we live that out, whether it's in our marriage or with our kids or with, you know, a neighbor, a coworker, when we're practicing in professing love over what the world says, you know, make it about you, or, you know, get angry, you know, don't forgive, you know, you have a right to be angry.
Yeah.
You have a right to divorce. You know, instead, when we're modeling this, we're a light in the darkness through our relationships. And that's, you know, everything I say today is it's for me as well. And it is, you know, that we are professing to be his disciples by loving others and being a light for him.
You know, that's so good. And let's stick with the movie analogy for a moment. Whenever I see movies and the woman is going to go down into the dark basement where the machetes are all hanging, I turn the TV off because I'm like, you're an idiot. I'm not watching.
Yeah.
I hate.
Why do they always have to go into the dark places?
Exactly. It's like, and we're all like, don't do it. And I'm like, if you're too stupid, I'm not saying
I want you to be killed by the murderer.
I just can't stand storylines like that. I'm like, really? This is the best you can come up with? But the thing is, if you're in a story, I mean, you're in the story of your life and in those private places when you're fighting with your spouse, there's a cloud of witnesses cheering you on, and there's so many people on the outside who aren't seeing, they're not privy to that in, you know, private fight, but they will be privy to the public fruit of it. And Greg, I want you just to make a case for that again, because there are people who are watching how we walk this out in a day when marriages are dropping like flies. And just this caveat, it shouldn't have to be said, but this doesn't apply to abusive marriages. But for those who drop like flies over offenses and grudges that are forgivable and doable, speak to the whole idea of this. I mean, picture your movie and all these people in this theater cheering you on that you'll make a better choice. It's a much bigger story than we know, isn't it, Greg?
It really is. We are never alone. And we do have people around cheering. We have people who are watching. We have children who notice everything about our marriage. And, you know, my hope for our kids is that we have a marriage that's worth repeating. That our children see our marriage and go, you know, I probably do some things different, but you know what? Man, I love their marriage. And, you know, that's how I feel about my parents were married 52 years. And definitely could tell you things that I hope aren't a part of our marriage story that happened to them, things that I definitely want to do differently. But, man, theirs was a marriage worth repeating. And that's what's so cool. We have God in our corner who's cheering us on, who's teaching us things. And I think that's another part of how we tell our story, is to recognize God's unfailing presence and help. You know, I love that Old Testament idea of the Ebenezer, which means stone of help. And a part of how we need to tell our story is to be able to talk about, here's how God has shown up in our marriage. Here's how those first couple years when we were miserable and we were headed in the wrong direction, man, there was a day and time to where he had one of Aaron's friends call and prompted her to call, and I made an off, you know, just trying to be funny, and said, yeah, Aaron's gone. And her response was, oh, Greg, I'm so sorry. I was so afraid that she was going to leave you. And I was like, what? No, I meant like she's at the grocery store. You know, what are you talking about? But I tell you, God used this couple to invited us over, and they became our mentors. And that for us has become, that was an Ebenezer moment. That was a clear example of where God provided the exact help that we need. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of how we need to tell our story, is look what God's done, and look how he's been faithful, and look how he's provided in the good times and in the hard times.
Let's say a word about just the reminiscing from a practical standpoint. I mean, you think about those sometimes sort of spring up at a family reunion or something like that, but you're saying to be way more intentional about that, because I, you know, really, it's like when you look at your past, it implies again that you have a present and a history. Aaron, talk about just maybe some practical ways a couple can reminisce and why that's so important to do.
Mm-hmm. Because remembering the good times is, you know, it's going to, again, remind you of everything you've been through. Mm. And, you know, the good times, the difficult times. But as you reminisce about your past, celebrate how far you've come as a couple. So, you know, Greg and I constantly will look back and just laugh at how far we've come, because we had a long way to go in our maturing as individuals, growing up, and, you know, where God has taken us. And it provides hope, because as we see how far we've come, it gives us the hope that, wow, look at what God has done. I mean, it's just pretty phenomenal when I look at where we've come from. I mean, wow. And how God has equipped us, and he's brought people alongside of us. And, you know, it just is such a powerful thing. Then it also, you can reminisce, and it helps you remember the qualities that first attracted you to each other. Because as you think about, you know, this is the first time I saw you, you know, this is what my thoughts were. And I mean, obviously, I always tell couples that, you know, there's something that drew you together initially. What was it? You know, look back and remember what it was, because there was something that made you agree to spend the rest of your life with this person. What was it? And focus on that over, you know, what's difficult or what they're doing wrong that you don't like. And, you know, be intentional about what you're doing.
And these things are easy to do, and they're easy not to. So the challenge here is to see yourself in a bigger story, to see that God's writing a story with your marriage that impacts many people, to reminisce because you have a history together. When we come back, we're going to talk about the importance of recognizing God's unfailing presence and help in your life, because you'll see that woven in your story, and you'll see it even in your present if you look for it. Greg and Aaron will talk about that part of your marriage story. Again, we've got a stack, I think 14 books. 14 copies of Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. That's the Smalley's book. Hardcover, great, packed with great content. And wrapped together with a Faith Radio devotional. I've got a couple entries in there as well. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Give me your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. But a good stack of you will get a good stack of books. Back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Don't you love that song? Toby Mac. I sometimes dance and sing into my hairbrush in the morning to that song. Gets me going. If you just need more than a cup of coffee, you dance to Toby Mac. You'll be awake. I'm just saying. So I'm talking to our friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley today about marriage and about the story that you tell. And you guys have been talking about reminiscing, about looking at the ways, just moments together, and even the ways God intersected your story. But, you know, on Facebook, I have some people saying, you know, never-ending love and unconditional, but others are going, so happy for you, but that wasn't my story. My title would be Going Our Separate Ways. Talk about, or to, I should say, the couple who've maybe endured, the person listening today saying, well, he wasn't faithful, or she wasn't faithful, or she left. It's so hard to, when you hear people's stories, to think, I wish that were my story. I didn't have that in my equation. Greg, what do you want to say?
Yeah, I can't undo the things that have happened in my marriage. So I did drop laundry on my wife's head at one point. I have made poor choices. I have done certain things that have injured our relationship and caused her a lot of pain. And I'm thrilled and grateful that Aaron's forgiven me. But again, what I can choose to do differently is how I view what's happened within our marriage. And that's not minimizing or marginalizing the pain. That's not diminishing the true tough and difficult experiences that you've been through. But I do have a choice in how I look back. And God has always been in our corner, and he's the one that says that when you go through tough times, that he will use that to grow us. And that's the stuff you're looking for. You're treasure hunting. Mm. There's times that I think a part of telling our story is our ability to look back and go, and God, what's the treasure there? He says in 1 Peter 5:10, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. God promises that he will use the difficult times to grow us. He'll turn the ashes into beauty. Those are his promises. And so we trust in that. So part of looking back isn't to go, yeah, none of that stuff matters, and I'll just think positively and I'll move on. As a believer, it's our job to treasure hunt that and to go, God, how did you use, so the throwing laundry on my wife's head, how did he use that to grow us, to teach us? How are we better now? Remember, couples who didn't make it would tell their story that was filled with all the negative. Couples who were happy and satisfied were able to tell their stories, including both the good times and the pain, but always from a positive perspective. And the positive perspective comes because of what God is doing through your relationship. And even if you don't see it, it's still true. It's there. You got to dig for it, look for it, recognize it, and that's the way we tell our story. It's not just the funny stuff that happens. It's what God's done through our story and how he's used that. See, that's, as Aaron said, that's the lighthouse that we can be.
Aaron, you know, some of these people who answered on Facebook who have positive titles have endured infidelity, have endured cancer, sickness, depression, and they're still standing. And that really kind of makes your point, doesn't it, that those who've given a positive title aren't doing so just because it's mostly been good. And you've seen this in your field. Many people have gone through storms, but that's what makes the title so much sweeter, because they're still standing, right?
Right. And there is always hope. And, you know, as Greg is talking about, you know, embracing what's going on and, you know, and trusting that God is going to do what he promises he'll do, that doesn't mean it's going to be void of emotion. You need to embrace and grieve what has happened. You know, grieve. If you've been through infidelity, that's devastating. You know, there's going to be a season of grief, but, you know, as you walk through that, let it be a season, and don't let it poison, you know, your heart and harden your heart. We get to choose that. These things are going to, you know, may happen in your relationship. There's going to be challenges at different levels, but we get to choose how we're going to respond to it. You know, let yourself grieve. And part of grieving is being angry for a season, you know, and expressing it and getting it out. But then in the bigger picture, what is God doing not only in them, but in you, and embracing that? What is God doing in us, in our story? And, you know, make a list of those things, what you see God doing, even amidst discovering infidelity or a porn addiction, or, you know, going through a sickness and an illness. What is God doing? What am I seeing God doing? If you're looking for it, you're not going to miss it.
I remember speaking at a conference, and I was talking actually in my old book, Alone in Marriage, and talking about how sometimes as wives, we put our hope in our husbands when our hope needs to be in the Lord. And so when they let us down, we start to make a list of the ways they've let us down. And we're asking them to be something they can't be. We're looking them to be a source, and we're building a case. And this one woman came up to me and just sort of fell on my arm sobbing, going, I was ready to leave my husband. I felt legitimate, like because I had my list. He was so brokenhearted. And she says, I'm listening to you. I realized he's actually a really good guy. And I'm the one who misplaced my hope. And I called him and begged his forgiveness, and we're reconciling. But they were on the verge of breaking up because of misplaced hope. And did you find that song by any chance? Did you? Okay. Yes, yeah, sorry. This is live radio. You've got to love it. If you don't mind, I'm going to ask Matt to play just a portion of the Stephen Curtis song together.
Oh, good.
And then, Greg, I'd love for you to speak to our hope is in the Lord. That's the only way we can make it in marriage. But let's just play a portion, and we'll have you come back. And then, Aaron, I'll have you rap and pray, if that's okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Here we stand, here we are, with all our wounds and battle scars. From all the storms and all the wars we've weathered, together. We had no way of knowing when we started way back there and then, how the road would twist and turn and bend. We just knew we belonged together. Because he has been faithful every step along the way. Here we are, together.
Like I said, I want that song at my funeral. It's just so beautiful. We've got literally a minute for each of you, if you don't mind. But Greg, just make the case for misplaced hope, that our hope needs to be in the Lord if we want this story to play out the way God wants it to.
We have to trust that we are a part of a larger narrative and believe that God wants to use our story, our marriage, and in every part of our marriage, the good, the bad, the ugly, to His glory. And we're a part of that narrative. Our story, how we tell our story, it's either going to be laced with all the negative, and we focus on that, and we start to look for the negative, or we're going to learn how to look back and to celebrate and be encouraged and filled with hope, because look what God has done. Mm-hmm. 24 years of our marriage here in May 30th coming up, 24 years. Man, I look back and I can see the good and the bad and the ugly and how God showed up, and I can celebrate that, and we can laugh about it, and it's all of it. And I love Jerry Jenkins has a great quote. If I can just read this real quick. It says, tell your marriage story. Tell it to your kids, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, but especially to each other. The more your story is implanted in your brain, the more it serves as a hedge against the myriad of forces that seek to destroy your marriage. Make your story so familiar that it becomes a very part of the fabric of your being. It should become a legend that is shared through the generations as you grow a family tree that defies all odds and boasts marriage after marriage of stability, strength, and longevity.
Beautiful. Aaron, we've got about a minute, wondering if you would pray for that person, realizing that they've got something to work with in their marriage. They just need to start telling a different story.
Yes, absolutely. I'm still wiping my tears from that song. And I just one last thing, that some of the most powerful stories that I hear are the ones that have been through the most pain, and that they're able to stick it through and share their testimony of what God has done.
Yeah.
Lord, we just thank you that we can turn to you and trust that you have our story, and you know what the ultimate outcome is, Jesus, and that you are walking with us, strengthening us and giving us courage as we go around each adventure corner. Lord, you know what the next season will bring, what season we're in. And Lord, just help us to just turn to you for the hope and the strength to keep going forward. Lord, we love you in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Love you both so very much. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Wow, good conversation. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Keep those emails coming, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Crazy little thing called marriage. You can put that in the subject line or your marriage story. Give me your mailing address. 14 of you will get a copy of the Smalley's fantastic book. Remember this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.